Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Martin. I'm here with my friend John Moneypenny. We met a couple months ago at the conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. That was a great time. John spoke there, and we really had a good time there. And so I learned to know him a little bit there, and he agreed to come on and share his story and the things that he's been learning and the ways that God's moving in his life, and Marcy, his wife. Yep. And we'll start from there. So, John, give me a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so I grew up in New Jersey. Okay. And I really had no religious background at all, pretty much zero. I had a close friend growing up, and he was Catholic. He went to church all the time. I didn't understand anything about that or why he was doing it or what the purpose of it was or whatever. I was basically, looking back, I feel like I was really dead to really anything pertaining to God. And so grew up in New Jersey. My parents were hardworking folks, and they, I think we went to church once or twice on a holiday, something like that. That's kind of the typical, sort of thing you do. So growing up, I played a lot of tennis, and that earned me a scholarship, to college. And so I ended up going to the University of Kentucky my freshman and my sophomore year. And my freshman year there, my roommate was in Young Life. He was a Christian, et cetera. And he was sharing typically, as they typically do, John 3:16 with me. It was the first time I'd ever heard that. Hmm. But I remember shutting him down immediately and saying, "Ray, you may need that, but I don't. I don't want to hear it." And he was crushed. And I didn't understand why he was crushed about it. And so, I just went on with my typical college life of doing a lot of partying, playing tennis, trying to keep my grades up, et cetera. And then I left after my sophomore year, took a year off, and ended up at Flagler College, which is a small school in Florida. And then I heard the gospel again at that time, and I accepted Christ. And really didn't know much of any of the details about the gospel other than Christ died for my sins. I knew that I was a sinner and that I didn't want to go to hell. But from my understanding, which was minimal, of what it meant to be a Christian, I started kind of keeping track of all the do's and don'ts that I should and shouldn't be doing, and also monitoring anybody I knew as well, to make sure they were, doing the right things and not doing the wrong things, et cetera. So, but eventually that kind of wore me out. There wasn't much growth at all scripturally in my knowledge of much of anything. So I wore myself out. I wore all my friends out from being so legalistic and self-righteous. And then just eventually just kind of transitioned into being what they call a carnal Christian. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
The term, but that was me, just going through this cycle of, partying and then feeling bad about it and then recommitting my life to Christ. And that, just that cycle, that endless cycle that just, leads you pretty much nowhere. And I think along the way, I kind of experimented with different churches, trying to, see what the Baptists taught, what the Charismatics taught, that sort of thing. Again, really no growth that I recall at that time. But I always had like this tug in my gut on discovering truth. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was, but I knew I hadn't experienced it yet. Because there was still this emptiness in me, and there was something wrong with my understanding of what Christianity was. at that time. It was interesting. I was reading this book by Don Bast the other night, Absolute, What is Truth?
Okay.
And he says in here, in the heart of every child of God, there is a deep longing to discover truth and a conviction that only God's truth can make us free. I didn't feel freedom in what I was experiencing at that point in my relationship, with God. So I always had this, and I still do. I still am just hungry to learn more truth. And so anyway, living the single life, et cetera. Eventually I met Marcy in Denver. We met here in Denver years ago. We're back here now, but we met years ago. And so we got married. She had a daughter already that was 7 years old. And I never would have dated anybody that had a child at that point. That was like the furthest thing. But Father just like prepared me for, yeah, this is good. I'm comfortable with this, and fell in love with her, and we got married, and then we had Taylor a couple of years later, our son. And so from there in Denver, we moved to Atlanta for career opportunities. And when we got to Atlanta, we eventually ended up at First Baptist Church of Atlanta, which was the pastor there was Dr. Charles Stanley. And we had watched, I don't know if you'd have heard of him before, Steve, but he had a ministry on TV. So we had watched him before. And I think that was like the very first time we kind of got these morsels of our identity in Christ, the grace of God, things like that, that started to make sense and resonate with us. Eventually, we were asked to teach a Sunday school class. I think it was called Growing in Grace. Anyway, so Marcy and I both became teachers there. And then along the way, in the midst of that, we had difficulties in our marriage relationship. It was a lot of tough things. I think we were so legalistic and self-righteous individually that we expected things of one another that neither one of us could provide at that level of expectation. So we went to counseling there at First Baptist, and that was the first time we'd heard about the Exchange Life and Exchange Life Ministries, which focuses a lot on who you are in Christ already. Okay. So those things also, that kind of took us to another level of understanding about, you know, what God had already done, who we were in Christ, et cetera. Just little things like that. I would say throughout my entire life, even up to this point, God has incrementally revealed things to me, aggressively revealed things to me, just morsels along the way, but they've built on one another. And instead of this massive brain dump, which obviously he knew I wouldn't be able to handle. Those particular truths of the Exchange Life were so profound to me and Marcy that Father eventually pulled us out of Atlanta and sent us on to Fort Worth, Texas, for me to go to seminary.
Okay.
So, we moved to Fort Worth, we both ended up getting jobs there, which I'll touch on here in a second. But so I went there to get my Master of Divinity and Greek and Hebrew and all the things you're supposed to get. I didn't know at that point if I wanted to be a pastor or what I wanted to do. I just wanted more truth. And I thought seminary was where I was going to get that. And little did I know. But so while we were there, we didn't know this, but one of the Exchange Life Ministries at that time was called Lifetime Guarantee with Bill and Annabelle Gillum. Mm-hmm. And their ministry had meant a lot to us while we were in Atlanta through the counseling, et cetera, that we received. But we didn't know they were there in Fort Worth. So we just went by there one day and we introduced ourselves and just told them how much we love their ministry. So we got to know them, and eventually they hired us as part of their team. And I was handling, this is kind of in the early days of the internet, and I was handling the marketing, and Marcy was handling operations for Lifetime Guarantee. And then we were traveling around the country, and we were doing conferences, and I did a little bit of preaching, and we were teaching, et cetera, part of Lifetime. Also at that time, another guy named Bob George, he lived in Dallas, and his ministry had meant a lot also to us as well. He touched a lot on 1 John 1:9, as far as confession of sins and his take on it. At that time, helped us to feel like we really didn't need to be keeping track of all our sins and confessing them, etc. So what he taught at that time was helpful, and he eventually asked me to teach and preach at his ministry as well while we were with the Gillums and Lifetime Guarantee. They all knew each other. And it was at that time too that we met Steve McVeigh, who heads up Grace Walk Ministries. And so all this is going on in Fort Worth while I'm going through seminary. And when I graduated, Marcy and I didn't want to stay in Fort Worth. We wanted to go elsewhere, and we kind of hit it off with Steve McVeigh, and he offered to have us set up a Grace Walk office anywhere we wanted in the country. And so Father kind of directed us to this little town in Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, which is where Indiana University is. And we just wanted a small town. We had lived in Atlanta, Fort Worth. We just wanted something smaller and simpler. So we opened this Grace Walk office there, and we did Grace Walk things, conferences, and we did writing and speaking and that sort of thing. And then Steve called one day and said, "Hey John, there's a book I want you to read this book. And I'm not going to tell you why, just read this book." But he also threw in there, "Don't tell anybody I told you about this book." So I was like, okay, well, you know, you really piqued my curiosity here. So it was this book, Steve, by a guy named Robert Farrar Capon. And it was called Between Noon and Three, The Outrage of Grace. And this guy, he was an Episcopal priest. And it's funny where you can learn bits and pieces of truth. So anyway, I started reading this book, and it's like, this guy is saying that God will save all mankind. And I remember being kind of stunned by that. And then I thought in my head, now I know why Steve doesn't want me to tell anybody that he mentioned this book to me. But Father he just prepared my heart to just receive that. You know, it wasn't like, oh God, this is no. It wasn't like that at all. I think that was our like first taste of the possibility that he would do that. And I don't, you know, looking back, I don't ever remember being like a hellfire and brimstone type person. I knew about hell and all that, but it wasn't like something I, you know, hung my hat on and just, you know, was telling people you're going to hell if you don't believe this or do that or whatever. But so anyway, he just prepared our heart for that. I think at that same time, Steve, like the Exchange Life message that we had been teaching for a number of years started to fade away for us. It became a methodology where you initiate Christ living his life through you. And it made sense back then, but it was just, I don't know, it just became something that it didn't make much the same amount of sense it used to. And also at the same time, Father began to show us that the Apostle Paul was our minister for today, so to speak. Steve just didn't see it that way, which is fine. And we didn't discuss, by the way, the book after he told me about it. But we just decided to part ways, not based on that. We just decided to part ways. because our message was not quite consistent with Grace Walk any longer. So we started our own ministry, and it was called Gospel for Today, because what Paul teaches is our gospel for today, so to speak. So that's why we named it that. And eventually this curiosity and this passion to learn more about the salvation of all just kept growing in us. And it was one of those things where it was interesting too, because like I don't recall us ever asking God, please show us that you saved the world through Christ. It wasn't like that. It was just, he just like imposed this on us in a gracious way. And eventually we could not share it with people. I know you've heard this, you know, these stories many times before, you know, it's like, and of course we're so naive. It's like, so excited about this, and this ministry is just going to expand and grow, and people are going to be so excited and happy about all this that we're going to share. And it was just, you know, it was just the opposite of that. And keep in mind, like, all the ministries we've been a part of are all grace ministries too. And we had a lot of friendships, but sometimes it turns out the friendships are really based on, do you believe exactly what I do? Then we're friends. You know, as long as you do, then we'll stay friends. Yeah. But if you don't, now we can't be your friend anymore. So, So, as we began our ministry, and it was very successful at the start, then more and more we started sharing about the salvation of all. We lost 90% of the support that we had. The friendships turned into, you know, people being just animosity towards us. And it was really awful, especially for Marcy, because the relationship she had with the women in those groups was probably more important to her than it was necessarily to me. And it just crushed her big time. So we continued to share, but the support dried up. And so we decided we probably need to get back into the careers we had before. And so we moved to Atlanta. We still had connections there, and we kind of rekindled our careers, and all that went very, very well. And I think this was so good in a way that he shut down the ministry, the formal ministry that we were doing. Because looking back now, there has never been a time where Marcy and I both have learned more and become more aware of Father and all he has done and the knowledge he's given us away from churches and ministries and all of that stuff. And it's like our wilderness was going back into the corporate world, but it didn't feel like a wilderness. I don't know how to explain it, but we've learned more away from all of that than we ever did in it. But at the same time, I'm so glad we experienced all that, because we got to see behind the curtain, so to speak, of churches and ministries and all of that, to see, you know, the reality of it and the futility of it, and that there was really very little truth there to be gleaned. There was enough of it, but it's after he takes us out of these ministry situations that we really start to grow in our knowledge of him, our realization of him, and all that he has done, is doing, and will do. So we were there in Atlanta for about 13 years. We decided, Marcy and I can work from anywhere, so we decided to move out here to Colorado to be nearer to our grandkids and our kids. We've always wanted to come back to Colorado anyway. We love it out here. And so that's how we got, that's a long story and I apologize, but that's how we got to here. So that's kind of the background heading into probably our most exciting time in growth ever, has been the past 6 or 7 years we've been out here. just mind blowing. And the other, you mentioned the conference that we had in Knoxville. That was like, I couldn't, like, we kind of established a friendship with Clyde. And one day he says, well, do you want to come speak at the conference? And I'm like, really? You want me to come speak at the conference? And he says, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, I was just blown away that Father had just gave me that opportunity to share. And I was so excited about it, thrilled just to be able to stand before people and just encourage them in the truth and be encouraged as well amongst, because I hadn't been to, Marcy and I had not been to anything like that, a gathering at all. And I don't know how long, 20 years. So we were like a couple of little kids. I heard us yelling and screaming, laughing, and
yeah,
we just had a great time. So
yeah, it was a great group of people. There were, you know, there were no expectations. There were no, you know, people were all over the places where, you know, where they were at, what they believed, and all some of those things, and
yeah,
it was okay.
Yeah.
And, because Father has us all on that journey. So how did you connect with Clyde?
I think it was one of the ways I was wanting to learn more about the salvation of all and other things that I knew I just weren't clear to me yet was just getting on the internet, just doing a lot of searches. I remember Tentmaker initially was very helpful.
Yeah.
Gary Emerald and some others. I even remember watching on TV a guy named Les Feldick, who he was a dispensational teacher.
Okay.
And I remember he doesn't believe in the salvation of all and some other things, but that's neither here nor there. But that started to make sense to me, because all I ever knew about studying the Bible was you just open it anywhere and read it and learn from it and apply from it, you know, and do this or don't do that, whatever. Yeah. So it was just, you know, this big, it didn't make sense. So anyway, what he was teaching, that was resonating with me. It's like, that makes sense. You know, this was written to them. This is written to us, dividing it. So anyway, so I think, and then we, found Martin Zender. Mm-hmm. And it certainly enjoyed much of what he was teaching as well. His book on the first idiot in heaven, That was really good. That made a lot of that, the two gospels, the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the circumcision, so much clearer. And that started opening up the word even more. And then, you know, just being on some discussion forums, et cetera. But I think that's how I heard of Clyde. And then, so I went to Study Shelf and I was like, oh my God, look at all this stuff here. This is incredible. And one of the things I liked, and I think I mentioned at the conference too, with what you all are doing is it's not one person as your resource. It's like multiple people throughout history and up to, you know, through today, that are sharing their perspectives on the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, all these topics. And that's another thing too, is that Study Shelf and Bible Student Notebook, it's so comprehensive. It doesn't focus on two or three things. It's like all things pertaining to the gospel and to the scriptures. Right. And to me, I'm a searcher and a student, and that really appeals to me. I like doing the research. I like doing the studying. And so, so much of what, obviously what Clyde is sharing and you're sharing and Andre is sharing and others goes along with everything else I've learned in the past. But I don't know. It's like, I'm a work in progress. I'm learning all the time. I don't know everything. I know bits and pieces of things. I know enough about some things that I have a strong conviction about them. Other things I'm like, I'm not clear on this at all. At times I used to feel like I should know this. I need to know this. And then it's like, Father's like, settle down. I will create that desire and that drive in you to learn this. And right now I have not done that. So cool your jets, you know, and be happy and content with what you've been learning. And so things like rightly dividing the scriptures, understanding the eons, learning about Gehenna and Hades and Tartarus and Sheol and, you know, the typical teaching on hell, finding out about the concordant literal New Testament was so important to me, because I was just, you know, taking, I'm trying to think what I went along with. It wasn't the King James. I didn't like that. I didn't like the English they used. I think I was like New American Standard. Maybe NIV before that, but then I started realizing, oh my goodness, I really need an accurate translation here, knowing that none of them, including the Concordant, is perfect, right. But it's close, and much closer than what I'd been reading, and it started to make all the difference in the world to me too. Things like understanding death,
yeah. That
has been so helpful, not only as it pertains to us as human beings, but as it pertained to Christ, you know, that he literally actually died,
right.
Which makes his faith towards his Father to resurrect him even more magnificent and incredible and important. And things like, you know, the typical teaching is of the immortality of the soul. And now I'm seeing that's... That's another thing that Christianity got wrong, so to speak, is that we truly die.
Yeah.
And we're not going to some other place to live another life, at least, you know, when we die,
right.
Until the resurrection. Coming to a realization that Jesus was a man. He was not God. That just tied other things in, mm-hmm. as well. And we talked about Father's sovereignty, of course, Romans 11:36, which has meant so much to me. Even Old Testament verses started leaping off the pages for me, Steve, as far as God being in control of all things. Indeed, our Elohim is in the heavens. All that he desires, he does. All, A-L-L, capital letters to me, all that he desires, he does. The fact that we don't have a free will, we don't. That God is orchestrating everything. He's the placer and the subjector and the orchestrator. He does it all. And there's so that helps so many other things start to make sense. Isaiah 45:7, coming to this realization and acceptance that God creates good and he creates evil. And there's a reason for that, and we can trust him with that. The thought of evil being something separate from God and out of his control is frightening to me.
Yeah.
And not only is I know it's a lie, but it's just knowing that he's in control of that and that there's a purpose behind that. This has been so comforting for me. The secret administration, where, you know, we reading Ephesians and Colossians, etc., and the difference there, and not to throw out everything before that in Paul's letters, but it's all kind of builds on it. And then right. Here's the ultimate revelation of what's going on and what will happen. So I, you know, you can tell I'm excited.
Oh yeah.
And you know, too, there's like, there's times in my life, I don't know about for you, but like there's times in my life when I'm so jazzed and so, obsessed with getting in the scriptures and just burying my head in there and reading everything I can and watching this and listening to that, etc. And those are wonderful times. But then there's some other times, Steve, where I'm just kind of settled.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have that curiosity or that drive to get back in there at that time. That can last for days. It can last for months. But it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think we get to the point, and Father's all in control of that as well. But I think sometimes you get to the point where you're satisfied and you're settled in your mind and you've got such great peace and your love towards God and your understanding of him has grown so much that you just, you know, just live your day, you know, go through
That's
the
right.
day.
Yeah. It's a chance to experience all these things that you've been learning, you know, relating to your family, relating to other people, watching a ball game, just living life.
Yeah.
In a way that, that all these things that we've been learning, we can just rest in them.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest. That's a great point. I always felt like, you know, back in the day with being a Christian and all that is involved with that, you're just constantly, you're not only constantly at work, but you're at work, but you're constantly stressed out because you don't know, you know, is God pleased with me or not pleased with me? Am I doing the right things or, you know, am I doing the wrong, what's going, you know, there's just so much stress there, and it's a it's a treadmill. It's a performance-based treadmill, and to be able to get off of that thing and just rest in what he's done. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's just about us and him and us enjoying him. And I find that I know I used to be so judgmental of others who weren't Christians or weren't going to church, etc. And I saw people as us and them. Mm-hmm. And so gradually Father has taken me away from all that. And I see everybody as we're all the same. And there's no difference. And I can enjoy relationships with people who have no interest in spiritual things, who live a different lifestyle than Marcy and I may live, but just to enjoy them, you know, just if you have the friendship, if you connect with people, just enjoy that relationship. And if the opportunity comes up, you know, to share the gospel or to share where you're at spiritually with people, you know, he'll provide that opportunity.
Yeah. And there's no urgency. There's no, you know, fear or guilt about, you know, cause I remember you go to, you know, you're already feeling bad enough about yourself. Then you go to church and then the preacher reminds you that maybe you didn't witness when you had an opportunity, or you may have, you know, and it was just, like you say, you're just spinning your wheels just on this treadmill of never being good enough.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned when you say church, I think of that building and different. Yeah. So and about, remember about tithing? You know, you feel like, you know, we need to take X amount of our income and give it to the church. And if we didn't give them enough, then we feel guilty about that. And then, that was one of the things that Father freed us from at some point. I don't remember when, but anyway, it was like, this doesn't even apply to us.
No.
And this is like extortion of people who don't know any different, who don't know any better. And I don't know too. I think like with pastors and teachers, etc., I always felt like, I'm not going to fully trust you on what you're sharing here. I want to find out for myself.
Yeah.
And so that's always been something that's driven me towards the truth. And I, you know, it's all him. I, you know, anything I say that, you know, sounds like I've done it is not me at all. It's all him. It's just him working in me, completing the work he began in me, directing my steps. But I'm so grateful that I'm not wrapped up and imprisoned by religion anymore. And I'm so grateful for everyone that's come across my life in the years past. And certainly up to this day, very grateful for Study Shelf, for Bible Student Notebook, for Clyde and Stephen, everybody is you, everybody who's just so gracious to share all these truths and have them make them available for people. You know, it just can't, there's no price you can put on something like that. And I would say too, like I said in the conference too, I think that I don't see God as God anymore. I see him as Abba, Daddy, my father, you know. He's put us through some difficult times here over the past couple of years, where it was stressful, but he used that, you know, like he tends to always do. He used that to just bring us into a more intimate relationship with him. And this book, I don't know if you, it's just incredible. as far as understanding who Father is and the intimate relationship really we all have with him already. And then this one too was great. Afflictions, trials and suffering. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody's going through afflictions, trials and suffering, which all of us are going through at some point, the information in here, all pointing to the scriptures and to Father, was just so helpful to both Marcy and I during that period, and still is. But that's just an example of like all these resources that are available to anyone to benefit from, and we're grateful, very grateful for that.
Yeah, the thing that I really like and really enjoy is that each of these truths and each of these books are just showing us more and more how good God is.
Yeah.
God is love and grace and the plan that he has, and there's no, you know, it's, I was up at Clyde's the other day and we talked about, if you get to a scripture that seems like there's especially in Paul's writings, you know, like there's something you got to do to receive something, it's time to dig down into that scripture.
Yeah.
To see what it really means.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's not the message, you know. No. That, yeah.
No. Yeah. And, you know, no, I told you I went to seminary, and knowing Greek and knowing Hebrew, it can be helpful, but it can also be just an intellectual thing. The concordant New Testament and the Old Testament as well are certainly helpful if you want to really dig down into what was actually written, right, in the manuscripts, etc., as translated as best as Knott could do it.
Yeah.
So understanding those things can be very, 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 very helpful. And yeah, you're right. It's like, if you see something that's a contradiction, it's not a contradiction.
No.
So there's another reason.
Yeah.
Why, you know, you think
context or the translation or something. Yeah. Or sometimes just the lens we're looking through.
Yeah. Yeah. Our backgrounds certainly make a difference. The way Father has grown me is different from how he's grown you or anybody else. You know, we're all unique. I'm just grateful I did not have a religious background as a kid. Although, you know, it looks like I made up for it when I, you know, got older. Yeah. But anyway, you know, we're all different. We're all growing at different rates of speed, so to speak. And it's all of us are on a unique journey. And it is fascinating, like you said, to listen to other, and you get to do these interviews all the time with people. Yeah. And it's like, you're just blown away how Father reveals things to people in different ways based upon what they need to hear or to see. I remember I used to teach tennis, did that for a number of years. And I learned that I could say something to somebody and it makes no sense at all. It just it does not connect with them on how to hit a better forehand or whatever. And then they go to somebody else and they say it just a little bit differently or a little tone of voice differently or whatever. And boom, they connect with it and they couldn't be happier. So it's just, you know, sometimes who you hear it from or how you hear it can make all the difference. But his timing on our growth is perfect. So.
Wow. It's been amazing to hear your story. And just I really like the excitement that you have, the exuberance when you talk about these things and what you're learning and how it's changing you. And so, as far as you look at yourself personally, you and Marcy, like, how have you guys changed in the last couple of years at a personal level?
We love each other more than we ever have. Marcy says this all the time. She's, because in the beginning of our marriage, it was a tough time. It was rough. But she'll say to me all the time, John, I'm so happy that Father has grown our love at the end of our, you know, we're on our runway is running out here, you know, but she's so glad. I'm so glad that our love for each other has grown greater in our later years than it was in the beginning years. If we had a choice one way or the other, this is what we would want, and this is what we're experiencing and enjoying. And in fact, remember I told you about when our ministry kind of dried up and the relationships that left mm-hmm. us and all that. And Marcy was devastated by that. And there were years where she didn't want to have anything to do with anything related to God or scripture or Bible stuff, whatever. And in the past, I would say in the past 3 or 4 years, her love and awareness and longing to learn more about God has grown immensely. And she'll come to me with things now. I used to be, you know, always the one initiating things. Now she'll come to me and tell me about what Father showed her today and, you know, how she's growing in this particular area. And we both, I think I showed this before, but this every single day I have this up on my wall on the other side of my computer, and it says, and we both are kind of are aware of this every morning. It says, everything I'm about to see and go through today comes from the hand of God, no matter what it looks like or feels like, no matter how seemingly small or trivial, whether it stresses me out or brings me joy, it is all of God. And so we have that little reminder every morning as we go about our day, because, you know, when you're busy working, et cetera, it's like there are times when you just forget about God and things that we've just been talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just you're just caught up in all the activity. And then he comes along and just drops this little reminder in your head. You know, I'm the one orchestrating all this. And, you know, here's why. And just, you know, a loving reminder of that. We get up every morning and as we're heading downstairs to get coffee or whatever, we both say, morning, Father, what you got today? You know, because you never know what he's, what's coming. But and he's put that awareness of him in us. Mm-hmm. It's not something we are now our goal. Right. You know, like our having quiet time or whatever, you know, it's like, no, this, it just happens. He's just put this in our hearts and in our minds to be more aware of him. And we're so, so grateful for that. But yeah, our love for each other has never been greater. We're happier together. We still go through difficulties in life. Hardly any in our marriage relationship. And it's because we've kind of freed each other from having to be the source of, you know, filling any void in our life. But anyway, yeah. So the other thing too is just being more accepting. I think I mentioned it earlier, more accepting of others, less confrontational with people. That's become more recent for me. As far as, like you were saying, you know, you're never going to win an argument with people anyway on a lot of this. And the confrontations are, you know, kind of a waste of time. So just more when I have an opportunity, just sharing people my perspective on the gospel or my perspective on a particular issue or something pertaining to it.
It's nice to know you can just talk about, you know, anything, you know, about sports, weather, happenings or whatever, and you can leave that conversation without feeling guilty that you didn't somehow witness, you know?
Yeah.
You have real relationships with people and
right. Yeah, exactly.
Life, just living life and, you know, ask about their grandkids or their whatever they're interested in
and
project. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And including them in your life and them including you in their life and not feeling like they've got cooties or something. Yeah. You know, like we don't want to spend any time with them or, you know.
Yeah.
It affects all your other relationships. And like you said, you don't have to feel guilty about not witnessing to them or whatever. And you can just enjoy life. Trust Father that, you know, all is moving forward according to the counsel of his will. and all is part of his plan. And life does get difficult. There are times when we're massively stressed out. Yeah. You know, you can know and then really truly realize something about Father, especially pertaining to his sovereignty, but your emotions may not line up with that, but that's okay. I mean, we're human.
Doesn't mean we have to like it.
No, yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And, you know, I remember, you know, we were talking about Ephesians 45:7 about God creating evil. I mean, nobody likes that.
No,
you know, nobody likes that. But because of this knowing and this realization and this understanding of the why, you can have some degree of peace of mind, not necessarily peace of feelings, right, but peace of mind because you know something.
Now, I don't know if you remember in that prayer video, I asked Clyde if it was all right to complain to God or argue at God. And he said, it's even okay to cuss at God, you know?
Oh yeah. There's a cartoonist. He's a Christian. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, they're usually religious-based cartoons. And he has this one. I have it on my wall. It says, "The Most Sincere Prayer." And it's this guy down on his knees on his bedside. And his prayer is, "Dear God, what the heck?"
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't say heck.
Right.
But that's real. That's reality. Is where all we all get to that point. You know, most people won't admit that, but that's the truth of life. Is that it gets so difficult and crappy sometimes that you just need to vent,
yeah,
and it's okay.
Is that the naked pastor?
It is. It's the naked pastor.
My favorite one of him is where the guy's praying, "Oh God, please make me like Jesus." And then the next section shows him on a cross and he goes,
cross. Oh, shit. I know. I love that guy. He's so real, you know, and because, you know, Christianity wants to sanitize everything. Mm-hmm. And that sends a message that your life should be sanitized and it should be lived like this and perfect and you never say this or do that, and that's not.
And if you do that, God will bless you, and everything will be great. Yeah,
exactly.
So
yeah,
it works out that way.
Right, right, and with prayer, like that was such a great teaching. And I'm like, yes, you know, because just all that you guys were talking about was aligning what Father has been showing myself and Marcy is, you know, our prayers are more about just thanking Him. You know, just as things become, we become aware of things throughout the day, just thanking Him and reminding ourselves of, you know, His sovereignty in particular. And instead of it being, you know, He's like the magic genie that, you know, we put in the nickel or the quarter and we get the gumball. You know, that's not the purpose of prayer anyway. So, and I love the Greek for that with toward well having or toward well being or just, you know, being satisfied with, you know, the situation that you're in and having a peace about it. And thanking Father that He's in control of it, no matter what it looks like, good or bad. And that's from knowing something, not from the feelings that go along with it.
Yeah, well, this has been a great conversation, John.
Yes, fun.
Yes. Anything else you'd like to add before we sign off?
I'm just grateful for all that you guys are doing so much. Again, I love Marcy and I both. We love the variety of what you guys share. You've got a lot of different things going on with the email goodies and the freedom journey, and you know Clyde's videos and. You know, and then other people and all the books, etc. It's just meant so much to us. Just very, very grateful and amazed how God is moving within what you all are doing. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity to share.